This week I want to preach on another object that the Bible really says today's object is something everybody loves without, I guess, any exception. And I even include God when I say that. And the verse that I want to use to identify the object I have picked to preach on today is in the book of Matthew in the 2nd chapter. So if you have a Bible, turn there with me. And as soon as I reach, you're going to say, "Preacher, what are you reading that for now? It's the wrong time of the year." Well, anyway, chapter 2, verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem." Then I'm going to jump to verse 11. "And when the wise men had come into the house, they saw the young child Jesus with his mother Mary, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts." Now there's my object. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Not preaching on gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm preaching on gifts. When you think about Father's Day or Mother's Day, you normally think about gifts. And sometimes the father will be asked, "Well, what would you like to have for Father's Day?" Most kids can't buy what they want anyway, but they'll ask the question, "What would you like to have?" And sometimes the father says, "I don't know. I've got everything that I really want. Anything will do." Or sometimes, "Oh, don't worry about it. Don't buy me anything. There's nothing really that you can buy me. Don't bother with going out and trying to buy a gift." But now you came to the Heavenly Father, God in heaven. You say, "Father, what would you like for me to give you on Father's Day or any other day?" I'll guarantee you he would have an answer for you. He would say, "There is a gift that I'd like for you to give me, if you will." And that's what I want to preach on this morning. Now, some fathers go out and buy their own gift and then come home and say to the kids, "This is what you can give me." That's the easy way to get what you want, no matter what it costs, you see. But even God, you know, in a real sense, he did this. He didn't go out and buy it. But he said, "There is a gift that I want, and I'm going to give it to myself." And the Bible says that at some time in past history, God made or created for himself some angels. And he gave them to himself. So that's what I wanted. And so I just spoke them into being, and I got myself thousands or millions of angels. So he got himself a gift. Next, it appears he wanted to have a special planet that was different from anything else he had ever made. And the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," a special little planet unlike anything else. And God said, "I'm going to give myself a planet, a beautiful, lovely earth." And he did. He gave himself a gift. And then on this earth, he said, "I'm going to place male and female." And I can just imagine an angel walking up and saying, "Hey, Lord, wait a minute. What do you need them for? You already have us. What do you want them for? They're inferior to us. Why do you want a man and a woman? What good are they going to be to you?" I can understand the bears and the coons and the lions and the birds, because you don't have any of those yet. But I mean, why another kind of person? What do you want them for? It's a good question. Have you ever asked that question? Why did God make me and you anyway? Now, he wasn't lonely. He had the angels. You know, and why did he make us anyway? Well, he made us for the same reason he made the angels. He wanted a gift. And they were giving him the gift. And God says, "I never get enough of this gift. I don't care how many people there may be or how many angels. This gift I can never get enough of. If you want to get me a gift, just get me one more of the same thing." That'd be easy, wouldn't it? Just buy the same thing over and over and over. I mean, that's the reason the Lord said, I'm making them angels, because I want their gift. All right? Now, any Let me say this. One thing you can always say about a gift that you give yourself, it'll always be something that you want. You know? You never return a gift that you buy because you didn't want it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have bought it in the first place. Now, I want to show you the gift that God wanted from the angels, and the gift that God wanted Adam and Eve, and the gift that God wants today as a father from you and me. Revelation, the 4th chapter, verse 11. I'm going to tell you this morning, while you're sitting here, while you're breathing, and while you were made, while you're alive, and why God let you stay alive one more day, I'm going to tell you why. Verse 11, chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now notice, for you have created all things. He made himself some gifts. All right? The reason he made them, for thy pleasure, they are in existence and they were created. I want to ask you, Father, something. I never thought about this until I wrote this sermon. God made Adam and Eve for one purpose, to bring him pleasure. Now, that's the gift. It's not an object, it's not a thing, but it's an experience of pleasure. I wonder how many fathers here this morning, or how many fathers have you ever known, including your own father, who said to the child in later years, the only reason, son, and the only reason, daughter, that you are alive today, and the only reason I ever allowed the idea enter my mind to allow you to be born, was that when you came in this world, you would bring me pleasure. That's why you exist, from my standpoint. Mother and I decided you would come with the gift of pleasure to us. I never heard a father say that. But that's what the Heavenly Father said. I don't think my birth was designed to bring my mom and dad pleasure. I hope I brought them pleasure. I surely owed that to them. But I never considered that to be the sole reason to have a child. That the child would bring the parent pleasure. Sad to say today, this concept has been long lost, and most children don't think they exist to bring pleasure to mom and dad, but that mom and dad exist to bring them pleasure. That's not a biblical concept. That is, I think, a childhood concept. But yet, do you not find that your children can be the greatest source of pleasure in your life? They can be. They should be. And that should be their goal. I mean, if we would teach our children, hey, child, do you know the reason you were born? The reason was that you'd bring us pleasure. And you start telling them at age 0, 9 months, one day, you can tell them that. You're here to bring me pleasure, kid. You are. That's what you're here for. And if that child begins to grasp that's the reason for his existence, how easy it will be for that child to fall right into the Christian way, to bring the Heavenly Father pleasure. Now, look at Psalms 127. Today's philosophy would disagree with this, but I want to show you something. Show you how God thinks about children. Psalms 127, verse 3. Lo, children, God says, they are a gift of the Lord to mamas and papas. Now, we don't look at it that way, but that's what the Bible says. Now, notice he says, and I'm going to change this up so it's good you have a Bible know when I change it, and the fruit of the womb is to be your pleasure. God said, I have designed for children to come into being because those children will become your pleasure. Then he goes on and says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Now, a man would not go out to battle with one arrow. That'd be kind of foolish. You know, that's like going out to war with one bullet. And so he says here, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver, that is the thing that holds his arrows. He's got a habit full of them. The man that has a lot of kids is in line for a lot of pleasure. Now, you may say, man, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But I'm telling you, that is the biblical concept. And God says, the more children I can have, the more pleasure I'm going to get. And I want my quiver packed full of children I can call my own, because every one of them are going to bring me pleasure. Now, that's the biblical concept of salvation. That's why you and I are made Christians. That's why you and I are put in the family of God. Not that I can get out of hell and go to heaven, but God said the reason is that for the rest of your life on this earth and throughout all eternity, you can bring me pleasure. God will always be your father, and we will always be his children, and we will always bring him pleasure as a child should to a parent. That's the way it's going to forever be. And so the angel's question was, why do you want to make them? It was answered. It also answered the question, why you're here? Why you exist? Why you breathe? Why you live? You know, I don't care what state you're in, you can bring the Father pleasure. I don't care what's y'all. It's possible. But, what time for y'all? But, there came into the Garden of Eden to meet Adam and Eve one who had as their goal, or his goal, one purpose in life, and that was to say, I want to cheat God out of his pleasure from created man. I don't want him to get any pleasure. Have you ever found people don't want you to be happy? You know a lot of them, you know. And they'll do everything they can to make your life miserable. And if you smile, they're going to say something and do something to wipe that smile off your face. Well, the devil came around, he said, my goodness, here is God. He's getting all kind of pleasure out of this man, this woman. That's got to stop. So the fallen angel we call the devil or Satan, he tempted Adam and Eve and said, boy, if I can get them to sin, God will never get any more pleasure out of them. You know what brings displeasure to a mom and dad when the child goes wrong? Breaks their heart. Nothing is more joyous and pleasurable than a child that pleases the parent. Nothing hurts more than a child that goes against the parent. The greatest pain and the greatest joy. And the devil said, man, if I can get them to sin, I mean, God's heart will be broken and there will be no more pleasure coming to him from mankind. I'll fix him. You know, the devil's mad because God kicked him out of heaven because of his sin. And so sure enough, you know, the Bible says Adam and Eve sinned. And this whole world has known sorrow and misery and sickness ever since. And it's getting worse, folks, instead of getting better. And there are not many people anymore bringing pleasure to the Lord, but there are some. And the devil said, well, that's the end of that. No more pleasure from mankind. But you know, God was hard-headed, if I can put it that way, and God was determined that the devil was not going to cheat him out of the pleasure he wanted to get from man and woman he created. And so God said, no, this is not the end of it. I'm going to still get the pleasure from creating man that I want. It's going to cost me a little bit more. I'm going to have to do a little bit more. It's not going to be near as easy, but I'm still going to get that pleasure from some of those folks that I created. And you know that's the story. He even announced that to Satan. He even announced to him, no, you have not completely taken away my pleasure. I'm going to do something about it. What did he do? He sent his own son to earth. God the Son came down and died on the cross to provide God the Father with converted born-again children. You know how God gets children today that will give him pleasure? He has to recreate them. Do you know that? He first of all created them prior, at the time of the creation, placed them in the Garden of Eden. They fell. And so God then came along through Christ and said, that's not the end of that. I'm going to recreate them. Now, with all of God's dealings with us, God's salvation of us, the death of Christ for us was all designed for one thing, people, not primarily to save us from hell. But that's important, that's included. But primarily for Jesus to take us before the Father and say, here, Father, here is one that once again can give you the pleasure that they were designed to give you before they fell. Here's one you can call your child. And here is one because I have reborn them, remade them, I have reprogrammed them, I have changed them, and now they are wanting to and willing to live to bring you pleasure. And the Father accepts from the Son a gift. And that's the gift, you and me. A person in this world, though rare indeed, who will say, I want to bring pleasure to God. Now, in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 10. Real quickly, our time is going, but I want to read you a few verses to verify what I'm saying. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 10. I'm going to read two sections in the book of Ephesians. Now, notice, we talking about the Christian now. Not everybody, but the Christian. We are His workmanship. We have been, now notice, created or recreated in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? Good works. What do you think it is that brings the Father pleasure? Good works. Which God hath ordained that we should walk therein. That was what God ordained for Adam and Eve to do, to bring Him pleasure. Now, look, if you will, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 22-24. He says, put off the old man. That man's not going to please the Lord. You know, one of the problems that we find today since the fall of Adam and Eve is that we have but probably one driving goal in life, and that is our pleasure. Children are born basically selfish. And that's why they don't always bring mom and dad a lot of pleasure. And so as selfish persons, I'm saying the only thing I'm concerned about is my pleasure. Now notice what he says here. You got to be a new man. I mean, you got to get off that kick. You got to get off me only. My pleasure is all that matters. You got to get rid of that idea. So he says, what you need to do is get rid of that old man. That's selfish man. Verse 22. Put off the old man, which is corrupt, and all it wants to do is what? Pleases it. I'm just kind of paraphrasing this. And be made over again. Be made into something new again. That's verse 23. Verse 24, put on the new man, which will be created by God in righteousness and true holiness. Quickly in closing, let me say this. All of God's gifts to you, I don't care what they are. You just name it, and if you think it's a good gift, God gave it to you. All that God has given to you, everything that God will do for you, all of God's dealings with you, and all of God's future plans for you, all focus on one thing, that He will get from you the pleasure that He wants. That's important. Philippians 2:13 will be our last verse. God is working within you and me day and night to bring about His will and to do His good pleasure. Now that's interesting, but that's the way God looks at things. I want to close with one concept that I think you and I need to be aware of. All of us are aware of the golden rule. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Most have never heard of what I call the golden reward. And many people don't quite understand how this works. But it's simply this, that the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. And happiness comes from giving more than it does from receiving. If you never have quite grasped this concept, let me explain how it works to you. If I know you want something real bad, let us just illustrate this by saying, say there is a car you want. I mean, your heart is set on that car. Just simply an illustration. And if I walk up and I buy you that car and I give it to you, do you really think the person getting the car is going to be happier? If you do, you don't understand things. There is a joy that comes to me in giving that to you that's greater than the joy you have in giving it. And that's true. And when you give to God the pleasure He wants, there is a joy and there is a happiness placed in your life that is unequal to anything you can buy or anything you can gain from any gift somebody might give you. Your happiness and joy in the Lord is going to come when you please Him. And that's a byproduct. That is the reward of giving somebody else something they really desire to bring them pleasure. It'll bring you pleasure in return. The memories that you have in years to come will be of those times you did something for somebody that really brought them pleasure. And all other times you'll just forget. When you do something that really excites mom and daddy, you will never, never, never forget it. But that's going to be about the only thing you don't forget about mom and daddy. Now that's a great concept. Now as Christians, we are to bring pleasure to the Lord. And in doing so, there will be placed in us a joy and a happiness that you'll never know any other way. What is it to delight yourself in the Lord? What is it to bring God pleasure? Just simply this. Do what God wants. Do what God commands. Do what God expects. Do what God asks. Just obey Him. Just please Him in that way. God says, you bring me pleasure when you show me delight in what I ask you to do. And you do it, and that brings me pleasure. Just being in church this morning, folks, brings pleasure to God. Do you understand that? Because that's what He asks. That's what He asks. For no other reason than being here, that's a good enough reason. It pleases Him. It pleases Him. Father, we're thankful this morning. But in a real sense, it's very easy to please You. But all we have to do is those things that You command us to do. May we sure this morning understand the concept that that's where our happiness in Christ is going to come from. And that's where our inner joy in our spirit is going to be derived. Help us understand this morning, Father, that we exist this day we live, and we're given one more day of life, that all during this day that we can do and say and think things that we know will bring pleasure to You. May we accept this knowledge and may we use it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.